श्रीचैतन्यमनुविष्टं स्थापितं जिनमुच्यते स्वयं उपकरामायं करोति स्वा करोति तं. It's interesting that Lord Shiva, the greatest of the demigods, is glorifying the Lord, glorifying Krishna, as being greater than anything one can obtain from the demigods. Lord Shiva can award many, many benedictions. And in fact he does, and very easily does so. But he himself is giving the warning that one does not need such benedictions. Nor does a devotee even have any interest in such benedictions or in any kind of material opulence. He's not interested in either karma or jnana. So devotional service is sometimes described as very rare because it elevates the conditioned soul beyond the platform of wanting enjoyment, of artha, of economic development, of not wanting to become knowledgeable. There are so many, many scholars throughout the world who can recite verse after verse in Sanskrit and who have studied these literatures their whole lives and are experts in their field from the material platform. But they have no love for Krishna in their heart. So all of this knowledge is without any value, is without any use, because the essential element of that knowledge, Vidashasaravayaham eva vedyo, Krishna is the source of knowledge, is missing. So it's like many, many zeros without the one in front. There is knowledge, but no love of God. Therefore, Lord Shiva is glorifying the association of a devotee as being the beginning of development of love for God. Without love for Krishna, any amount of knowledge is without value. Any amount of economic development or sense enjoyment is without value. So the impetus here, or the encouragement he is giving to the Prachetas, is to develop pure love of God, to eradicate even the last vestiges of desire for any kind of sense gratification, for karma, for jnana, or for knowledge. This is Anya Vilasita Sunya, Jnana Karma Janapritam, Anukulyena Krishna Nirshilanam Bhakti Ritam. This is the stage of pure devotional service beyond jnana, beyond karma. And unless the soul, unless the heart and the mind, the coverings of the soul, are completely purified, then it is impossible to actually engage in devotional service with the kind of determination and the kind of dedication and commitment that Srila Prabhupada's movement is demanding of all of us. Krishna demands this of Arjuna. He says, Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam taya pakriti chetasam. If there is this tendency, if it remains in the heart to enjoy anything material, whether it's mental, whether it's emotional, some gross form of enjoyment, whatever it may be, if that remains within the heart, and one then necessarily one becomes bewildered. Even a little bit of sense gratification, a little bit of envy in the heart, that bewilders us. It causes us to see things skewed, not clearly, not from the perspective of Krishna. So it is said there that Bhogaishvarya Prasaktanam, that in the heart of such a person, resolute determination to engage in devotional service does not take place. So Prabhupada and all of Prabhupada's followers, our ISKCON movement, his great legacy that he bequeathed to us, are driving us forward, they're whipping us almost, to give our whole lives to devotional service, to spread Krishna consciousness, and to develop love of God. And of course we cannot spread Krishna consciousness unless we actually develop love for Krishna. So sometimes we become so enthusiastic and so caught up in our service to serve the Supreme Lord and to spread Krishna consciousness that we forget that we have to develop love for Krishna. So without love for Krishna, we can't spread love for Krishna. So Prabhupada gave us this nice two-track process to worship the deity and to purify ourselves by studying his books, by worshiping the deity, associating with the devotees, living in a holy place, chanting with great determination, enthusiasm, and concentration, so that we could become pure. And then all of our missionary work to spread Krishna consciousness would become effective. Purity is the force. So we have to, according to the orders of the Acharya, spreading his glories, we gain the impetus to become pure, because we realize that if we try and try to spread knowledge of Krishna consciousness, we won't be effective unless our purity increases and increases and increases. So Lord Shiva is giving a very deep philosophical dissertation here, that if one is very fortunate, by chance, sometimes these words are used, by the will of providence, we've encountered a great soul by chance. That means good fortune. The whole world is unfortunate, especially in Kali Yuga. Very unfortunate. In fact, this is one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga, that people are just unfortunate. So being the welfare workers on behalf of Krishna is the greatest welfare work. So welfare work and good fortune mean we are extremely lucky. Brahmanda Brahmite Konyu Bhagyavanji Guru Krishna Prasate Pai Bhaktivata Vij. If one is very fortunate, it is said, after wandering Brahmanda Bhumite Konyu Bhagyavanji throughout many, many universes and many, many lifetimes, one is fortunate to gain the association of a pure devotee. Then the beginning of devotional service takes place. One is able to link oneself with Krishna. So from unfortunate, one can become fortunate. Everyone is, as they say, part of the problem. And Krishna consciousness is to make everyone part of the solution, to change the unfortunate to fortunate, to change the misfortune to fortune, to transform matter into spirit, to transform this human society, which has degraded very deeply in Kali Yuga, to a society based on spiritual principles. That's the challenge. And that is the importance of linking up with a pure devotee. So the word is used, kshana ardhena, or half a moment. It's also said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, lava matra, saru sangha saru sangha saru shastra hoy. Lava matra saru sangha, sarva siddhi hoy. One can attain all mystic perfection just by contacting a devotee, even for a fraction, 1/11th of a second. That's all that is required. So this is a very mystical thing, a little difficult to understand how in just a very tiny fraction of a moment one can get the seed of devotional service and progress to the highest level of Krishna consciousness. Of course, this is like a seed. It's the beginning, just as we have the word initiation. The word initiation, in English it means the beginning. It is the beginning. So the association of this very brief period of time is like the seed that's planted. It's the beginning. And then one continues, and this continuation is unending, because the nature of spiritual life is eternal. The nature of developing Krishna consciousness is that even after one reaches the spiritual world in a spiritual body, the relationship with the spiritual master and Krishna, it still continues. It goes higher and higher and higher, because matter is limited and spirit is unlimited. So even in the spiritual world, one's love for Krishna and his associates and the spiritual master continues to develop and increase moment by moment by moment. In London, one devotee said to Prabhupada, we were in the recording studio and making some recording, and anyway, Prabhupada, the devotee said that, I had a dream you were in the spiritual world with your spiritual master, and you were offering him obeisances and crying and washing his feet with your tears. And Prabhupada said, thank you so much for dreaming like that. So the indication was that even in the spiritual atmosphere, in the spiritual world, in the pure spiritual essence of existence, the relationship between the individual living being in the purified state and Krishna and the spiritual master is ever expanding and ever growing. So the seed starts, the seed is the beginning, the very beginning, and then gradually it is watered by the process of chanting the holy name and our processes of Vaidhi Bhakti. The seed grows into a very strong tree. From the Bhakti Lata Bij, it grows and grows and grows until it reaches the spiritual sky. So Prabhupada also quotes the verse, Avai Pumso Parodharmo Gatir Bhaktir Hoksajay Hoti Akriti Yatai Yayatmam Supersedati, that this is actually the obligation of every living being. Every living being is misdirected. He thinks that he's enjoying life, and the purpose of life is, after all, to enjoy. That's the purpose. But because they have no spiritual understanding, they're trying to enjoy in a way that's unsatisfactory. It's temporary and will not actually satisfy them. So supersedity means that thing which completely satisfies the self. And that is sabbe pum sakaro dharma, that is the supreme dharma or the supreme duty. Lord Chaitanya said that he's the personality of Godhead, carrying on the principle of that duty, that I order every man and woman, every man and every person in this universe to take up the mission of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And one of the purports in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Prabhupada speaks of how the Sankirtan movement can never be stopped. It's like a rock dropped in the water and it ripples until the ripples reach the shore. So the Sankirtan movement, once begun by Lord Chaitanya and his followers, will ripple just like the water all around the world. And then it will continue to ripple, he says, on and on until it reaches, the ripples reach the very covering of the universe. So we can take part in that process, or we can remove ourselves from that process, because it is going on. And it is to our eternal benefit to take part. And because we are fortunate, we are very fortunate, to have come into contact with a great Mahabhagavat like Srila Prabhupada, it's possible to attain pure devotional service. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a very nice verse, Muchihaya Suchihaya Yadi Krishna Bhaje. Shuchihaya Muchihaya Yadi Krishna Tvaje. By remembering Krishna, even the lowest person can obtain the highest position in life. And even if one is born in a very high position, if he forgets Krishna, Shuchihaya Muchihaya Yadi Krishna Tvaje, if he forgets Krishna, then he sinks to the lowest position in human society. So the Sanatana Goswamis write about how the conditioned souls can be transformed, just like the base metal, like lead and other metals. By alchemical processes, these metals can be turned into gold. There's a process for doing that. Similarly, those who are born into conditions of deep material nations, especially in these Western countries where there's no Vedic culture, we've had the good fortune. And our misfortune can be turned into fortune by this very brief contact with a pure devotee. Or Prabhupada's movement is the movement representing a pure devotee. Even if it's coming into contact with a book or a piece of prasadam, this momentary beginning is the bhakti lata bija, or the seed of devotional service. It's where one's devotional service actually begins. One does not know it, but just to see the Rath Yatrakar, so many people were benefited, so many thousands of people. The seed of devotional service is planted. As soon as one begins to think, oh, these Hare Krishna people are very nice, that's the beginning. That's the beginning of their devotional service. So, in Prabhupada's life, he had a brief first meeting with his Guru Maharaj. And the very first moments, he offered his obeisances with his friend as he was getting up. We read in Prabhupada Lilamrita, he heard Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati say, "You are educated young boys, now take up this mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English language." From that very momentary association and hearing of that sentence, Srila Prabhupada gradually accepted this as his life and soul. And over the years he meditated and meditated and meditated on this seed instruction from his spiritual master. And he persisted, he pursued, and persevered in the face of many, many types of adversity and opposition. He couldn't understand how to extricate himself. Sometimes he was dreaming when he was a family man. He used to say, "Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is calling me away." I was horrified. And when he was on the ship, he was stricken with heart attacks two times, three times. But he was completely unflagging. He never, for a moment, thought that he should not try, no matter how difficult, to execute the order of his spiritual master. And he prepared for many, many, many years in many different ways for this great voyage. He could have gone to some other place, which might have been a little easier, like Australia or England, maybe. But he decided to go to one of the most hellish places in the world, New York City. And when he started, it was Manhattan, which is the most hellish of the hellish place. And by hearkening to those words of his spiritual master, watering that seed by going forth with great determination, Krishna gave him all benediction. Krishna gave him all facilities. When Magari was also confronted in a very brief encounter by Narada and Parvat Munis, his whole mentality changed. The simple life of someone like that, or anyone, is very simply to try to exist. Just try to have enough to eat, have a roof over my head, have a little sense gratification with my family at night. But when somehow something miraculous happens, we see it happen when someone gets one of Srila Prabhupada's books. We see gross materialists change. And somehow, everything that they are living for is no longer important. Their jnana, or their karma, their artha, their different impetuses for enjoyment, they cease to be there. They're no longer important. Another dimension is brought into their life. Just like this hunter, in a very short time, his whole life became transformed. He was just subsisting, very simply, by hunting. And as soon as he was able to see a saintly person, a Mahabhagavat, of course Narada Muni is a great, great soul, one of the Mahajans, his whole life changed, and his heart became very soft. And then, on their second visit, when they came to see the hunter, they saw that he wouldn't even step on an ant, and his heart was melting. And then, he was so transformed that even he was told he couldn't carry on his artha, his work, his life, or his daily existence. He accepted that order, that I will go on and just worship Tulsi, shave my head, live by the river. And Krishna was so kind that people from all over started talking, "Have you heard? Magari has become a Vaishnava, the hunter." They came from near and far, bearing boga to bring him. So he had more than he could even eat, even though he stopped his occupation. He was offering to Tulsi every day, chanting, and he had more than he could even eat. He was having to distribute the foodstuffs. And so by developing faith in the pure devotee, by accepting his instruction as the seed for engaging in developing devotional service, he became completely purified, and he became satisfied both materially and spiritually. One thing Prabhupada said to us back on Second Avenue when he was first starting out was that he told us he was having this dream that he was being dragged away from his family. He said that now I've come here and I was concerned about my wife and children. Now, he said, I have hundreds of nice children. And these children are serving me so nicely, and I don't even have to work hard to maintain them. They're serving me hundreds of times better than my own children back in India. So my point, he said, was that if someone follows the order of the spiritual master, whatever it may be, even if it means to become a renouncer, one is never the loser. It may appear that our jnana, our karma, our artha, our dharma, our moksha, is being taken away from us. The things that we're living for are being taken away. Krishna says, actually, that I do. Parishe tadanam chinash. I take away in the beginning to help the devotee come to me. This is the first installment of my mercy. But this taking away, as Prabhupada was saying, he said, my point is that you'll never be the loser. Because although you're removing your material attachments, these are like anchors to the material world. And by removing these, we become free. This is the meaning of freedom. Transcendental freedom. Not to become a slave to the senses, which everyone thinks is freedom. That's the materialistic view. Sanisha sarvabhutanam yasyam jagrati samyami. Tasyam jagrati samyami. That thing which the materialist is most fond of is completely uninteresting to the transcendentalist. And the difference is like night and day. Yanisha sarvabhutanam. Because we're enjoying from the transcendental platform. And this is actually what everyone is looking for. So just by that momentary association, that little glimpse into the other dimension of happiness beyond this material world, one can immediately get a sense of relief and happiness. And then there's another side to this, that one has to seek out the pure devotee, or seek out association with Krishna through his representative. In one sense, because we're representing Krishna, even though we haven't come to the point of prema bhakti, we're starting out, we're taking ourselves gradually through the stages of sadhana, vaidhi bhakti, starting with shraddha. Still, because we're acting under the order of the pure devotee, we're acting directly under the order of Krishna, we're dedicating our lives to Krishna, we can act as our mentors have acted. We can act in the mood and with the same force of the pure devotee by being transparent via media for preaching. And then for all intents and purposes, at least for beginning the process of devotional service, we become like the touchstones, or we in our impure state, we become pure, just like the iron rod. It gets very hot, like iron, it becomes like fire. And of course, when we take it out, it becomes iron again. But still, because we are engaging ourselves, maybe sporadically, but we're trying to engage in that process of pure devotional service, we can act as the carriers of the pure devotional service. And therefore, it is our duty to give everyone that seed of devotional service, to bring the mercy of the pure devotee through ourselves by being unmotivated, through uninterrupted and unmotivated service, to bring that mercy to the conditioned souls and to train them, to teach them the importance of becoming fortunate, and to give them the understanding that what they think is fortune or what they think is natural is not fortune, and it is not natural. It's not the normal state of existence. So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, wake up, sleeping souls, that should be the byline, the byword of all devotees. To wake everybody up, to waken them from this slumber. Tasyam jagrati samyami. Tasyam jagrati samyami. Samyami. Sanisha pashito munyahe. Just like we're up very, very early and everyone is asleep. So the Krishna consciousness process is a process of awakening, gradually awakening everyone from the slumber of material existence by bringing the mercy of a pure devotee. So even though it's very brief, we should carry ourselves in such a way and speak in such a way that everyone will be benefited. Austerity of the tongue is described in the Bhagavad Gita, Anugregam Karam Vakyam. Satya Priya Hitam Chaya, Svajayam Vyasanam Chaya, Van Mayam Tapa Uchite. That whatever we say should be done, what should vibrate in such a way that everyone is benefited. Satya Priya Hitam Chaya. It should be truthful. Devotees are admired for their truthful quality. Satya Priya Hitam Chaya. It should be pleasing. When a devotee speaks, it should always be pleasing to others. One should speak from the Vedic literature, and one should speak for the benefit. Whatever we say, it should benefit others. That's the form of austerity Bhagavad Gita describes in terms of speech. And the mind must become purified, the body must become purified, and then by this purity, by the transcendental rays of this purity, love of God comes shining from the heart and gradually creates a transformation in this material world. So that is our charge from the Acharyas and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to make everyone fortunate, to transfer what we have gained by getting our good fortune from the spiritual master, from Srila Prabhupada, from the Acharyas, and from their teachings, and to transmit it without any motivation. So I'll read the verse again. Shnarde napi tulaye nasvargam napunarbhavam bhagavat sangha sangasya maratyanam kem utashishaha. If one by chance associates with a devotee, even for a fraction of a moment, he no longer is subject to attraction by the results of karma or jnana. What interest then can he have in the benedictions of the demigods who are subject to the laws of birth and death? So, comments, questions?